B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Second free throw is good. Sixers down three. They have to go the length of the court in 1.8. No timeouts. Simmons throws it into the backcourt. Jimmy Butler steps around. Gordon Hayward does not get the shot away in time. And the Celtics have done it. Without Kyrie Irving, without Aaron Baines, they have come down to Philadelphia and beaten the Sixers again. And if it is always darkest, dawn may just have broken for the Boston Celtics. The final score, Boston 112, Philadelphia 109.
So is dawn breaking with the Celtics? Does it break without Kyrie Irving? It just fuels that fire. I told you yesterday. I told you that if they win, boy, it says something about the Sixers, for one. Like, what a fraud team that is. Oh, dude, God, you got to feel like such a tool if you're the Sixers. You got to feel like you are just, talk about someone's daddy. The Celtics are the Sixers' daddy.
I mean, they got it rolling. They get Harris, all of that. All of a sudden, here they go. Philly's ready to take off. Celtics come in, no Kyrie, and beat them.
Oh, good God.
Watching that last night, I felt like, okay, this Celtics team this year might be a little bit annoying, but at least they're not this collection of bums, like this gutless loser bunch. The Celtics own that team. They're so in their head.
I'll tell you, too, because just quickly, like, they are so careless and sloppy with the ball. How many times did they try to make passes into traffic that get deflected, turned over?
Brutal.
Celtics turned the ball over six times last night. The Sixers were 14.
Ugh.
14. That was the difference in the game.
Okay, so that, it says something about the Sixers, but also they go and win there without Kyrie Irving, and now that has started and, really sort of pumped up the are they better without Kyrie conversation. Which a lot of people think are stupid. A lot of people really believe in it. There are a lot of Celtics fans who really believe in that. And I'll tell you, just to reset, I think the ceiling is higher with Kyrie. You should be better with Kyrie. You just haven't been. So they haven't figured it out yet. That, I think, it's hard to argue. And it's not just this year. That small sample this year against bad competition without Kyrie. They were better without him last year against good competition through the playoffs. So the sample's bigger than just this year. That doesn't make any sense on the face of it. I don't know why it's the case, because you should be better with him. Because he's a brilliant talent, but it hasn't translated. Kyrie's talent is not translated. And I am beginning to wonder if chasing two guys who probably don't want to be here, and Kyrie, who is a complete handful, even if he wanted to be here, if it's even worth it. So I am beginning to wonder about that. Your calls on that, and we'll get to the Bruins here this hour as well. Mike in Medford on the Celtics. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, guys? I don't think the problem is Kyrie himself. The problem is no team that has the point guard as the best player is any good. The point guard needs to bring the ball up, get it to the best player, and let them make a play or make a, the play off them. That's it.
Okay, so Mike, I'm going to stop you because Maz is going to lose his mind.
It's an antiquated way of thinking. So the point guard's job is to just distribute. What, do you want Rondo back? Is that what you want? You want Rondo back. Kyrie's not a point guard in the traditional sense. He's a wing player. He's just a smaller one. That's the way you got to think of it.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you, what's more important in that league, a scoring wing player with size or a point guard?
Well, if you had size, of course, if Kyrie had size, you'd rather have that.
What's more important, a wing player or a point guard?
Well, Kyrie is a wing player.
Okay, so but you've got
But again, point guard.
I mean, that's how you get around that.
But point guard under what definition? Like, again, people...
Well, so he's in the mold, and I'm not telling you that he plays the same way, but in the mold of Westbrook and Harden and Curry without Durant, a high-scoring point guard.
Correct. Yep, that's what he is. But the caller's definition of a point guard is what he said.
Right.
Come up and distribute the ball. So Kyrie shouldn't shoot? So so if they move him to two guard, that's okay? Like, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an antiquated way of thinking. Whoever's hands the ball is the guy your offense runs through. Okay, if Kyrie can shoot, it's him. If Hayward is on the floor, it's him. Whatever it is. And again, I don't think this whole idea that just because a guy handles the ball a lot, he can't be your best player is dumb. LeBron's a point guard, for crying out loud. Effectively, he's just bigger.
Nope, I understand that. But I think there is something to be said that there's a lot of good point guards and you don't need... I mean, the guys that are driven by the point guards haven't won. They haven't. I just gave you, Houston and OKC. And I guess the Warriors did it once, but you sort of diminished the Warriors last hour. that they really only won the one, and it took Kyrie being hurt to win the one. Again, they've won three, but Durant had two of them. So I just think there's kind of a case to be made there.
Okay, so again, but it's not a – I just don't like the whole – it's a point guard thing.
I'd rather have a scoring wing than a scoring point guard.
Well, if you would tell me that the wing can handle the ball, fine.
And has more size and all of that.
So it's the size issue is a big part of it because Kyrie's a liability on the defensive end or can be a liability on the defensive end.
Listen.
You're telling me you can't win a championship with Kyrie Irving handling the ball?
Of course you can. Let me just be honest with you. I would love to have Kyrie on the team if I'm a Celtics fan because he's freaking nasty. He's brilliant. He's a great player. But he's a pain in the balls. He doesn't want to be here. And even when he does want to be here and is here, he isn't really committed to you. So, like, what are you chasing there? And, oh, by the way, your record is worse when he's on the floor. So I start to add all that up, but I'm sort of wondering, why are you banging your head against the wall for a guy that doesn't want to be here and it hasn't translated in the first place? I mean, I think that's a fair thing to think about.
Because with him, along with another player, say an Anthony Davis, that's your best chance to win a championship. Yes, it may look like better team basketball without him in a game like last night's, but that has a ceiling. That has been proven the last couple of postseasons.
I think Celtics fans have to come to ask themselves a question, come to an answer, and then pick. And that is, do you want to like them more than you want the championship?
So you can't have both. You can't have a likable championship team.
I don't think so.
That first Warriors team.
Again, it fell right for them.
Okay,
they were a likable team.
The Spurs. They weren't interesting, but they were likable.
Okay, so that's fair. That's a good one.
There were no ass wagons on that team.
And I would say, as far as superstars go, Tim Duncan was the rarest of the rare birds.
He sure was. Normal fellow.
Total, complete team guy.
Okay, as promised, I was...
Oh, a little jazz guitar. Someone playing some octaves.
More hold music.
Is this the same guy as yesterday?
No, different guy.
Alex!
Alex on the South Shore, are you there?
He's sitting at his desk. He's got it on speaker, and there's like a little delay, right? So he's waiting to see when we pick up.
20-second delay, he's waiting for that?
Yeah. Well, now that I yelled Alex, what's gone by, like 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Alex, you listening? Alex, you.
On hold.
Alex.
With my tent.
Put him back on hold. Screw him. This is too long.
Okay, his comment line said, success of Bruins young players.
Yes.
That was last night. Last night we had Karen Carpenter on the hold music. Okay, so success of the Bruins young players. I do want to get to this. Did you watch Danton Heinen last night?
Oh, yeah. No, he was good.
The quiet one. This is what we called him before. So this is chapter three of blah. Don't look now, but does Danton Heinen have game?
Oh, he was pretty good last night.
So this is the
But again, well, go ahead.
No, you go.
Who's he playing with?
Okay, but that the plays he made were the plays that he made.
Yeah, it's easy to do when you get a little space on the ice with the guys you're out there with.
So one of them, he set up Solaric. He didn't set up Marchand on the other one. He didn't set up Bergeron on the other one. He set up Solaric.
Was it a power play?
Yeah.
5-on-4.
Okay, so I'm not doing what you're doing yet. But this is, for the Bruins, big thing. Their young players took a step back this year, right? Across the board. The production from the young players, big problem on the team. They were expecting some of them to step up, fill these roles. They weren't able to. And so now we're at the deadline, and that's why they have to go get third-line talent, never mind top-six talent. Because the young players didn't come through. Heinen was chief among them. Heinen had a really good year last year. He was part of a great third line. As a second-year, young player, you expected him to make the next step, and he regressed. Going to last night, I think he had 16 points or something like this on the season. He was a big zero for most of the games that he played. And some people liked his game. I never really got it, because I just, as my friend DJ Bean said, he plays a quiet game, which I agreed with 100%. I never noticed him. He's so quiet as to be silent. And so that was my commentary on Danton Heinen. And since these injuries have happened, he's gone back up, and they moved Pasternak back to Krejci when they first moved Heinen up there. But now with Pasternak out too, he's getting more power play. Heinen last night made a series of plays where I said, oh, so we actually have some skill? Is there actually some skill in playmaking in his game? Because I'd never really seen that before. Before that, he was just sort of a quiet 40-point guy where, made the simple plays and collected his points that way.
No, I like that. The quiet one.
The quiet one.
Like that heavyweight champ.
Did you see the pass he made sort of over his shoulder to Marchand?
Yeah, it's a good pass.
No, wait, I don't understand your tone. Why aren't you giving him credit for that? Oh, that was a great play, Maz. That was a great play.
Yeah, and his performance has ticked up since they bumped him up to the first line.
That was a great play.
He's playing with Marchand and Bergeron. They could put you out there and you'd get points.
Okay, so...
Yeah, before the last, like, in this last four games where he's been balls out here, Mazza.
I can't win.
He's had 6 points. So, like,
what? He's been good the last couple games. And last night.
Yeah, and who's he been playing with?
But Maz, he still made those passes. He still made those plays.
Okay.
And if, and Maz.
If he sucked as bad as you're kind of alluding to right here, he would have done nothing in this last, like, four game stretch.
Oh, no, I don't think he sucks. I think he's average.
Okay, but, so, look, here's the point. If he's doing that with those guys, that solves a problem because then he can play with those guys and Pastrnak can play with Krejci, and now you have your top six.
True.
That's a actually valuable thing. That's
yeah,
a
they
should
have done that earlier. I said that earlier. Yep, they should have done that earlier. In fact, I thought they should have put Krejci with Marchand and Pastrnak and move Bergeron down. Either way, it's the same deal. Bergeron will elevate people, so will Marchand.
Did you see our friend? Now, see, maybe all this is in my head now because Van Noy's calling us out. And, you know, like, as soon as anything happens, all anyone does is think of Felger and Mass in some way, shape, or form.
That's a good thing.
Like, it is a good thing, but it gets it's you can tell it's sort of getting to me a little bit.
I've noticed.
You know, it's like... The Denver Broncos make a trade, and all of a sudden it's, oh, John Elway! Bah! Like, it all goes back to something I said about John Elway 4 years ago.
People have the receipts, Mike.
So it's just right. They saved the Felger and Maz receipts.
Oh, and now it's all on the web.
And Kyle Van Noy knows anything about us going back years, okay, and is sticking his ass in our face.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thanks, Kyle. So now Danton Heinen makes a couple plays, and Steve Conroy, our friend and former colleague at the Boston Herald.
I saw this last night. I chuckled.
Well, you gave it, you sent it to me. I wouldn't have seen this otherwise, but you sent it to me. Steve Conroy sends out a tweet that says, oh, I guess Danton Heinen doesn't suck. Nothing about Felger and Maz. It could be nothing to do with us.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with us, but I took it that way.
But now I'm just, now we're in other people's heads, and now they're in my heads, and now I think it's all, it's so now it's like I'm all messed up because, so now I think he's chirping us.
I kind of like it.
He is.
Is he?
Yes.
What makes you think so?
It works for the radio right now.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, but now it's in my head. So now it's in my head. So now I'm getting chirped on Danton Heinen. Which is fine. I'll take the loss on that. If they have another good young player, and if he do, and I don't care if he's doing it just with Marchand and Bergeron. That's actually what they need, Tony, is someone to do it with Marchand and Bergeron, which means then Pastrnak, when Stumbly comes back, and if he can, you know, make it to the Uber at night, he plays with Krejci, and you now have two lines. You understand that? That's important.
No, I understand the math. Yeah, thank you for explaining that to me. I was having a little difficulty with that. So the last few games, Heinen's been better, actually. Last night, he was really good. And what happened a few games ago? Huh. Oh, you know what? Now that I think of it, they put him with Bergeron and Marchand. What do you know?
But they've done that in the past, and he hadn't done squat.
Well, you know, maybe they're playing better. I don't know.
He's done it in the past. All
maybe
I know
he's
is
hot.
Those passes last night, he scored a goal. It was off a deflected puck in the middle. That was just, you know, that wasn't a special.
He was in
play.
The right place at the right time on that one.
For the goal, agreed. Right place, right time, fine. The two passes, that heretofore, I had not seen that from Danton Heinen. I had not seen the playmaking or skill. Like, oh, so you're telling me he's actually got skill? Because I haven't really seen it. I've seen, you know, when he was at his best last year, there was some steadiness and this sort of, you know, skate your lane and make the simple plays. That's what I feel that he was last year. And he collected points because that line was really good and Riley Nash went off. Last night, there was actually some skill there. So you're saying the kid has skill? I'll take it. But you're a tougher egg to crack.
They were very subtle passes, weren't they? I mean, smooth though, right?
Yeah, so what are you saying?
Shh. Quiet.
So there's your Bruins thought. Back with more after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Heinen over to the near side. Marchand, right circle. Bergeron shot it. And that floater comes in on Delia. They score! Delia had a hard time handling that knuckleball block to the side, but Marchand darted up front of the net, fired it home. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 1.
Turn it over again. What a pass here from Danton Heinen in front of the net. Find checking Marchand after Delia couldn't handle the initial shot. Bergeron trying to get that puck to settle. Gets into the net. Bit of a knuckle puck. It is blocked aside by Delia. Heinen's going to be first on it, and he's going to turn and fire a quick pass back to the direction he just came from, right onto the stick of Brad Marchand in tight. It's a quick little one-timer for Marchand.
I'm not going to fight that, Maz. That was a special play. I don't know if he's a special player, but if he's going to bring that, then that's different.
No, he had a good game.
Then that's different. We'll see.
He had a good game.
You are much tougher to crack than I am.
Will you at least say you're encouraged, Maz?
Like, on one game? No, please.
It hasn't been just one game.
Okay, it's been four.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 points in four games since they put him Bergeron and
Marchand. So what? That's what they need. Don't
you get it? So, but it's not about him then, is the point. Whoever they put on that line
scores.
That's
not true. That is not true. That is not true.
Sure it is.
I mean, they elevate that guy. They should elevate that guy. Riley Smith was good with that line. But I'm telling you, though, they've been reticent to move Pastrnak because they tried Bjork up there to start last year. They've tried different guys there.
Okay,
they tried
so Bjork's a good one. Bjork really sucks.
Okay, or just wasn't ready. If they can find someone to play with that group and get production, that is a big development for them.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And if it's going to be Heinen, fine. I'm not going to fight it. You can.
They should have moved Pastrnak off that line a long time ago. Or they should have moved Krejci in between Marchand and Pastrnak. Whatever it is, you know, fine. I'm glad it's working out with Heinen, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you all of a sudden that, like, Danton Heinen is no longer the quiet one, as you say.
Shh. Last night, he wasn't quiet.
The quiet.
Back to your thoughts on this and everything else. Everything's now on the table. You can weigh in on whatever you want. RJ in Maine. Go ahead, RJ.
Hey, guys. Thank you. I've got a hockey question for you real quick. I read where the Red Wings are wanting to trade Gustav Nyquist, a UMaine alum. I think he's at 47 points right now this year. Do you think that's something that the Bruins should pursue? And
yes.
I'll hang up and listen. Thank
yes.
you.
I don't know what the cost is. I don't know what his contract is. But... little skilled player. I don't know if he projects as, like, you know, they need solid professional third line production. I don't know if that's, you know, Nyquist. Do you have his page up in front of you?
I just called it up. He's been a little bit of an underachiever, hasn't he?
I would say so. How big is he?
5'11".
I think he's a little guy.
5'11", 185, left shot, right wing. When he came into the league, right, he had a couple of big years to start, 28 and 27 goals. And then since that time, 17, 12.
Yeah, that whole thing's falling apart there in Detroit.
Now, look, he's also, did you know he's 29 now?
Wow.
I wouldn't have guessed he was that old. 29 years old. Honestly, no thanks. They can do better.
Well, no. For a low price, yes. Yes.
All right, for a low price, fine. Is he a rental?
Second, third round pick. I don't know what his contract situation is. I'm not up on Gustav Nyquist. But I would take him. I would. Bob and Marlboro on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. I fixed the problem of Kyrie Irving. I said, give him when his contract comes up, give him a 3-year deal with big money, have him sign on and trade him to New York and get the backup center and a tall forward to go with him.
Okay, we're going
to
trade him for a backup center and a tall forward. Now we're getting silly. And New York wouldn't do that because why would they trade for him when they can just sign him as a free agent in the offseason? Sorry, Bob.
Unless Kyrie's doing the Celtics a favor.
So, well, but, you know, one of those sign and trade, like LeBron, when he went to Miami the first time, was a sign and trade. You get something out of it, but it's, yeah.
The rules are different now. You don't want to do a sign and trade in the NBA because it hard caps you.
Okay, so this is all too technical and it really doesn't matter.
So the one thing I will say, though, if you are one of these people that believes Kyrie's going to stay, here's an element that works in your favor. When Kyrie was in Cleveland, he wasn't going to sign there, and he told them that, so they traded him. Okay, the Celtics haven't traded him. So maybe he hasn't told them that he's leaving.
That's fair.
Like, because honestly, if you're a player, it's the right thing to do for your franchise.
Absolutely.
Paul George did it with the Pacers. Like, we're doing you. I'm not going to sign here, so get what you can for me. Anthony Davis is doing the same for New Orleans.
Okay, I have a couple of Red Sox thoughts coming up. Why don't we just start it right now with a couple from our callers. Mike in Brookline on Dave Dombrowski saying today that they see Dustin Pedroia as a 125-game ball player. How do you feel about that, Mike? I couldn't set you up any better than that. Maz, how do you feel about that?
I don't like it. I mean, I think it's, you know, and when I say I don't like it, I think it's delusional. I don't think Pedroia can do it anymore. What he has is a degenerative knee condition. He's got no cartilage in his knee. That whole microfracture surgery, that's what it's about. It's about cracking the bones in there to try to get cartilage to grow. It almost never works. There are younger guys that have had that can't, that don't come back. And so I just think it's...
Wasn't that Greg Oden?
I think I actually think Oden did have it. And remember the tight end the Patriots took from the Giants, Jake Ballard?
Sure, yeah.
He had it. He was like 26 when the Patriots got him.
None of those guys ever really played again.
Okay, so it's a bad injury. Once you hear that microfracture surgery, it's a bad sign. So look, if it happens, great. I think he's their best option, but I just don't think it's realistic.
We've got Sam in New Hampshire on the Celts. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, yeah. How you guys doing? Long time listener, first time caller. I was just thinking, I know this might be a stretch, but it's crazy here for the Celtics, so why not? I think that Kyrie's sitting these last two games up for the All-Star break. I think he's sitting them out just so Terry Rozier can get his time in. And then Rozier got this mysterious illness tonight, so he could sit the night out tonight. And so they can kind of prove the point that if they win without Kyrie and they win without Rozier, both could maybe shut up.
And let's bring in the Brad Wanamaker era.
Why would Kyrie contribute to proving the point that he's not as useful to you as you think he is?
I have no idea. I don't know where the caller's going.
Let's not get stupid.
But you know what? Now you look at it and you say, well, Marcus Smart will handle the ball, right? What about when he's not in there? And you know who this lines up for? Hayward. Right? They can run it through Hayward again. Stevens gets exactly what he wants with what they got last night. Have Hayward out at the top, start running some pick and rolls out at the top of the key and let Hayward survey the landscape. And if, you know, the guy runs under the screen, Hayward launches, he starts making shots again, we think he's back. I'm not convinced, but people will think he's back.
Chad and Hollis, what do you got for us, Chad?
Listen, I got my two young daughters in the car, so I want you two to be nice to me, but I really think that you two have everything that's coming to you. Not everybody agrees with your sports takes. Maz, you are always whining about the Red Sox, despite the fact that they won the World Series. And Felder,
I hadn't heard.
You pick on all these players, and when they win, you guys are the ones, next to the Dark Knight, Adam Jones, you guys are the ones that are just as negative. I think it's a hard market to play in because of the Boston media. So if any of these guys are retaliating against you, I think you have it coming. So please, again, be nice to me. My kids don't want to hear you guys.
It's okay. We definitely have it coming. You rag on Kyle Van Noy. He wins a Super Bowl and plays well in the process. He's allowed to stick his ass in our face, and he's doing it. So I don't begrudge him that one whatsoever.
Have we ever disputed that part of it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But this is what makes Boston a tough place to play. Yeah, I know. How do these teams ever win? If it's a hard place to play, it doesn't seem to have gotten in the way of the winning. Did you ever think that the tough standards we, meaning you, all of us, hold them to actually helps? Because no city has ever won like this city has won. So I find it hard to say.
The accountability and bitching helps.
Yeah, so that the negativity in this town, whether you're talking about us or anybody else, I'm not making it about us, but how this team, this town handles its teams, did you ever think it actually helps? Because it's hard to make the case that it hurts when you've won 12 championships in 17 years.
You started working in this town around 1990, right? Ish. 91, you graduated?
My first real beat was the Revolution in 95, and then the Bruins, and Joe Thornton's rookie year was 96-97, right? That year.
Okay, but you were working in the newspaper business before that.
I moved here in 88, went to the Herald in 89.
Okay. So, was the town tougher then or now?
Tougher then.
Not even close. So, I would tell people, this place, soft as marshmallows now. It is totally soft. It's not anything remotely like what it was. And so, I would say, take what you get and like it.
I have another Red Sox thought for you. Oh, here's a good one for you, caller. Just right on that theme. What could go wrong with this team? People are having trouble finding reasons?
No, it's all good.
I found one. I came up with one. You'll hear it right after.
Be careful,
this.
You'll get chastised.
No, I got one. Just stick around.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, here in the interest of doing a talk show, which means this is how they win, this is how they lose, the back and forth, it's important to talk about what could derail the Red Sox, because it is good ship lollipop right now, man.
Is it ever?
Okay, so what could go wrong? And I thought of one, and it wasn't original, totally original as usual. I was reading something, and something occurred to me. And what I mean by what could go wrong, what's something that I haven't thought of or haven't heard of, or we haven't, like, for example, their bullpen could blow up. We all know that. We've all talked about that a million times. Like, obviously, right, if the bullpen is really, really bad, not just bad like last year, but even worse, then that could derail them. Obviously, health could derail them. Obviously, right? And I would say specifically their starting pitching. There's only one reliable, durable guy in there, and that's Porcello.
Right.
The rest of them have all had, you know, arm problems at some point, even recently.
Correct.
Sale, Price, Eddie Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi has had two Tommy Johns, right? So those four guys are susceptible, but that's kind of obvious, right? The health of your starting pitching, your bullpen, like blah, blah, blah. So then I read in The Athletic today, five things that could shake up an otherwise sleepy Red Sox spring training. Oh, good. Got some things that could go wrong. We need this. And here's what they... Number one is Pedroia's status. I don't care. I really don't care whether Pedroia plays second base or not. I don't think it's going to matter whether it's him or Nunez or Holt or Jue Lin or whoever. I really don't think it's going to matter.
I mean, they had the best season in their history without him last year.
In other words, it's not going to derail them whether Pedroia's in or out. It's not. Then number two was the bullpen. Okay, got it. I know it. I agree with that. Any change to the starting rotation, meaning health, was number three. Got it. Yep, I agree with that. Number four was one more chance for Blake Swihart. So the catcher thing, they got to deal a catcher, and who's going to, no, really? That's going to derail them?
You know, that's like, if that's an issue, then they don't have
it. Oh, my God. Then there's nothing really to talk about with the team. And then I got to number five. I said, maybe. And The Athletic writes, the looming crisis within the game itself. They write, there is a cloud hanging over all of spring training across baseball. Now that another offseason has come to an end with considerable big league talent still unsigned, tensions are clearly rising between team owners and the players' union. And considering one of their own, Craig Kimbrell, is affected, the underwhelming free agent market is surely not going to escape the attention of Red Sox players. Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, Holt, Nunez, Thornburg, Xander Bogaerts, Mitch Moreland, and Steve Pearce are all free agents at the end of this season. Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley will be free agents in 2 years. They say this open market uncertainty is hitting close to home for this roster. And while the Red Sox typically are not outspoken about issues like this, it's worth wondering if they follow the lead of guys like Evan Longoria, Justin Verlander, and Buster Posey by expressing frustration and disappointment. If they do, that would be an unexpected and somewhat unusual sideshow to the usual batting practice and field drills. I read all that and I went, wait a minute, let me workshop this a little bit. You got a bunch of guys up for a contract. The players are starting to get really pissed at the owners because it feels like collusion or something. But outside of that, you've got all these guys thinking about their own contracts, their own situations, and their own futures. A little bit of a Celtics thing going on there? The Patriots had this a couple of years ago. They didn't all respond to it very well. Like the Malcolm Butler group, right?
Remember? Good point. Yep.
Right. That sort of affected that team as well. And so now I'm sort of searching for reasons of things that might go wrong with the Red Sox. How about that one?
Personal agendas.
Now, baseball's way different than all those other sports because it's really an individual game. And you can get away with selfishness in baseball so much easier than any other sport. It's not even funny. It's an inherently selfish game. I know it. I get it. But have we already seen some of it? I mean, Mookie Betts, did he win the MVP?
Yes, he did.
He won the MVP as a leadoff batter last year. But he wanted to move to second in the order. Now he's moved to second in the order because why? Well, because he didn't get the RBI because he was hitting leadoff. He didn't get as many RBI, so he wants to be moved down in the order just a little bit to pick up some more RBI because he wants to fill out the stat sheet because of impending free agency. So here's an example. Chris Sale, I mean, he's going to be walking this tightrope all year. He got screwed on his last contract. This is his last chance to make real money. Does he pitch through an injury to show that he's durable? Does he shut it down if he's hurt because he's saving himself for free agency? Like, all those things are possible, isn't it? So there's one for you, Maz.
Absolutely. Look, and again, this has been sort of the one thing kind of hovering over the team since the end of last year. Because aside from affecting them individually, it affects them collectively. How are you going to keep this together? Like, there's that element, too.
Well, I'm not even talking about how they manage the roster going forward.
No, I understand that. But so individually, you got all these guys focusing on themselves. The team's got other sort of objectives and goals. There's a lot of dueling forces there. Could that eat away at you? Sure, it could.
Well, so I'm just saying, like, contracts, money. What could be an impediment to the Red Sox success and the great character and chemistry they have on that team? How about money? Money ruins most things. And so that's not a prediction. I'm just saying that's one I hadn't considered.
Oh, the players are definitely pissed collectively throughout Major League Baseball.
Which brings me to this. So the you know, the Athletics said they foretold this. Will players pop off on Major League Baseball and owners? Will they show their frustration about guys not being signed and, you know, Machado and Harper and Kimbrel and all these guys still sitting there and not moving? And will that enter into their thinking? Chris Sale went there today, absolutely railing against Major League Baseball about Craig Kimbrel still being unsigned.
It's crazy to me. You know, I don't want to get too far into it, you know, with the politics of baseball and all this stuff, but he's as good as it gets. He 100% makes any team better that he plays for, right? It's crazy to think that there really hasn't been a whole lot of traction with him. I think, obviously, with half the league just showing up for checks, doesn't help. Not trying to win. Those kind of things. So then obviously your market kind of goes down a little bit, but he's earned it. You just like to see better from him, you know, or for him, excuse me, because he's put in the time, he's put in the effort, and he's put it on the line. So it's time for someone to do that for him.
Okay, in the middle there, he's talking about teams tanking, teams just showing up for the checks. He's not talking about players, he's talking about teams.
Correct, he's right.
Revenue sharing checks. So
2 days ago, Justin Verlander tweeted 100 or so free agents left unsigned. System is broken. They blame rebuilding, but that's BS. You're telling me you couldn't sign Bryce or Manny for 10 years and go from there? Seems like a good place to start a rebuild to me. 26 to 36 ages is a great performance window, too. The guys are pissed. They think collusion's going on. I do, too.
Yeah, so do I.
It's hard not to think that way.
Yeah, so do I. And again, think about it. Think of the ramifications of that and how they're leveraging players on multiple levels, right? One is that we'll tank, we'll get draft picks, we'll keep them for 6 years, we're better off. Two, let's look at it in the context of Mookie Betts. Keep it to Mookie. Mookie, you don't want to sign with us? Fine, no problem. We'll go year to year. Then you'll hit the market. What are you going to get out there? Because Bryce Harper and Machado are out there right now. What are they going to get? So now you leverage him to sign with you, and he's got to take a team-friendly deal?
Just simply put, what could get in the way of the Red Sox success? Because it's hard. You got to poke holes, man. You got to dig. You got to think about it. I hadn't considered this one. Money. The oldest one in the book. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Marcus Morris on the wing. Return to Horford straight away. 10 on the shot clock. Back to Morris, left wing. Everything on the perimeter. 7 on the shot clock. Morris drives in traffic. Kick out in the corner. Hayward open three. Huh. Got it. Gordon Hayward having a game of his Celtic life tonight in Philadelphia. And Boston leads by two.
Somebody spank that man.
Well, not only scoring it, he was playing. We played with him in the pick and roll, you know, a ton tonight. And we wanted to try to play, you know, with our bigs out and lifted and those types of things. But he's been great at that all year. And then when he makes shots, everybody writes nice things, right? I mean, at the end of the day, he's a really, really good playmaker. And today he also was able to play off of some extra passes. And some other people found him and he made them. And so it's a good feeling.
So reset some Celtic stuff. Good win for them last night. It says something about them. It says more about the Sixers. Like, my God. You're fully loaded, fully healthy, at home. All this momentum. Celtics come in a mess internally without their best player, and they still beat you. Oh, God, Philly. You're a joke. Seriously. It says more about them than about you, but still a very good win for you. And, you know, you saw some of that old Celtic signs of life and compete in that ball game last night. So that was it on your side. It's also opened up this whole, you know, do they really need Kyrie can of worms, which we're engaging because I think a lot of Celtics fans, I don't know if it's the majority or what percentage, but I think a lot of Celtics fans feel they're better off without Kyrie Irving. And I'm giving them a say today because I think there's a case to be made. I don't necessarily believe that, but, well, we'll get into that further. But on Gordon Hayward, couple points on Gordon Hayward. First of all, he had arguably his best game as a Celtic, or most important game anyway.
Yeah, impactful is the word that I saw someone wrote, and that's a good word.
Well, I mean, he's had good games before, but his best games have been against, is it Minnesota or
Minnesota
Utah that he goes off against?
Minnesota.
So it's Minnesota. He's had two great games against effing Minnesota that don't mean anything to you. Last night meant something, so I think that last night was his best game in the best spot. But you think it was overrated.
So look, you look at the line in the box score and you say 26 points. He was a game high, plus 11, game high, 8 of 11 overall, 6 from 3 from 3-point, 6 of 7 rather from 3-point land, 4 of 4 from the line, all across the board. You say, wow, he was dynamite. And the shots went in. I mean, the threes in particular, but athletically, was he a different guy? Like, did you see more explosiveness or did... Because I'm not sure we did.
No, but you saw a difference in confidence, and that's the most encouraging thing, and especially late. Like, he was great in that fourth quarter, right? Like, and you mentioned it earlier. Like, there was no rattling around, and then the shot would drop. They were dripping through.
Yeah, no. The shots were clean.
No, I mean, but decisiveness.
Yes, he was, absolutely.
Clearly more decisive.
No question about it. All I'm saying is, you know, I don't know, Stevens made the comment, and I wondered the same thing last night. I said, well, the ball's going in, but is it something different? Like, is it just that the shots went in? And then Stevens made the comment he made about, all of a sudden everybody writes great things.
I think he took more of them. I mean, I think he was more assertive offensively. I think there's a lot of nights where I'm like, he's not even shooting. He comes out of some of these nights where he's like 4 or 5 shots from the floor. So I think that's just important in and of itself.
Sure. And look, Rozier didn't play well, and so they needed to go, and Kyrie was out.
He was gunning a little bit.
Yeah, he was. And look, he was good again. And the balls that went through, which was just about all of them, they were clean as a whistle, too. Nothing was rattling in. I mean, like, he was splashing down everything. Absolutely pure. He was money last night.
All that being said, there was one moment real late, though, that it was like,
That pass.
We were just talking about
Holy crap, was that awful.
He chucked it into the bench?
Yeah. Oh, they had to look at it to get tipped? No, you just got tight.
No.
Oh, no. He literally chucked it into the crowd.
Okay, so that's one thing on Gordon Hayward. The other is, what does Brad Stevens really want? How does he really want to run this? How does he really want to play the game? He may have given it away right in the middle of that comment. Let's just play that.
Well, not only scoring it, he was playing. We played with him in the pick and roll, you know, a ton tonight, and we wanted to try to play, with our bigs out.
Stevens wanted to say we tried to play through Gordon Hayward,
and we wanted to try to play, with our bigs out.
We wanted to play through Gordon, and he stopped himself. Why? Is that going to piss off Kyrie? Is that going to piss off the other guys on the team? Is that going to give away what I really want to do with this team? And that's play through my boy, play through my guy, Gordon Hayward. That's my guy, and that's how I want this offense to run. And I want him to be the point forward and to distribute and to share the ball. And I want to run it through him. Did he give away what he really wants?
I mean, to me, that's what he wanted to say. Again, we talked about that earlier. He wanted to run the offense through Hayward. And honestly, I think that was the plan from day one when they brought him in here. Because Hayward is good at sort of surveying the floor. He's got great game sense. He sees passing lanes. He's a smart player, even defensively. With the shortage of athletic ability, with the injury, He's still usually in the right place, knows where to position himself. All of that is true.
But saying that, so politically, why would he not want to say that? For the reasons I said, it pisses off Kyrie.
It's going to be a big part of it.
If not Kyrie, then Jaylen Brown or anyone else where there's that logjam at that particular position where it's like, for the most part, guys are looking at me like, this bum getting 26 minutes tonight and scoring 4 points. Get the hell out of here with that. That's why he caught himself.
I mean, I don't think there's any question that's what it was.
Right.
I think he he's sensitive to the whole idea that Hayward's his guy. And so, but there's no doubt that's what he wanted to say. We wanted to play through Gordon.
Final item. Are the Red Sox better without, are the Celtics better without Kyrie Irving?
No.
Why?
Because again,
then how can they have a better record without him?
So when I say against who, you're going to say, what about the playoffs last year?
Exactly.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you against championship caliber competition. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you need someone who can break someone down one-on-one and get a basket on his own.
So I don't have the exact record in front of me, but they had a better record without him last year than with him.
Okay.
That's last year. Okay, this year they're 8-2 with him. I'm sorry, 8-2 without him. 28-19 without him. They have an .800 winning percentage without him. A .596 winning percentage with him. Pretty big gap.
Yes, and I don't think it's all about winning percentage. I think it's about your ability to elevate against elite competition at crunch time. That's what I think that whole league is, which is why the playoffs are different, because and the teams with the best talent usually win. Because there are only so many guys that when people are really trying can break someone down and make a shot on their own. And Irving is one of them. So if you want to tell me the Celtics are more likable without Kyrie Irving, they play a better team game without Kyrie Irving. They've won more games in the last 2 years without Kyrie Irving. True, true, true. They need him to win a championship. If you want to win a championship, you cannot win it without him.
But you acknowledge it hasn't translated yet.
Yes.
It hasn't translated.
I don't think that's even debatable.
Thank you. Okay, so that, like, you can't debate the results. But this year you can a little bit because they've sat him out against mostly bad teams. Last night was by far the best team that they played without Kyrie Irving, and they won it. But I gave you the other, you know, nine opponents before here. Utah, New Orleans, Minnesota, Dallas, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Cleveland. Those were the previous five before here that Kyrie sat out were Brooklyn, Charlotte, Cleveland. Okay, so that's hardly a fair sample to say that they're better without him when you're beating up on those bums. And you actually lost one of those games at Brooklyn. But either way, this year you can explain away by the bad competition. Last year you can't. Last year you can't. They played all sorts of good teams, bad teams when Kyrie, you know, shut it down with the knee and then went into the playoffs and performed really well. So it has not translated. You can't argue that. It has not translated on the floor. His brilliance as a player has not translated. They haven't figured it out yet. So I sort of add that to the fact that he may not want to be here. He's kind of selfish even when he is here. You know, not showing up last year to Game 7 against Cleveland because he went to get a nose job for the movie junket. That is bad form, man.
Not kind of selfish, he is.
That is brutal. And now this thing where he's sitting out last night and tonight, but if you listen to Brad Stevens today and we'll play the sound, it feels like they're clearing the runway for him to actually play in the All-Star game. So he's going to skip these two East Conference games but then go play in the All-Star game? What? Really? And the team's kissing his ass and sort of clearing the way for him to do that? And we'll play the Stevens sound. I mean, I threw up in my mouth when I heard it. I add that all up. He hasn't translated on the floor to wins and losses. He's a pain in the ass. He's selfish, and he doesn't want to be here. And for that, I'm going to blow up my whole team to keep him and chase another guy who doesn't want to be here? What's really the intelligence of that approach? I'm beginning to wonder about that. So that's our Celtic reset. To you right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.